Time is 8:07. Currently, mostly cloudy skies. Really a nice start here this morning. Temperature 60 degrees at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up in just a few minutes, you'll hear a voice you just heard for the last couple of hours here on Bow Falls Radio. At 8:15, I'll be joined by Pat Kreitlow, the host of Up North News, which you catch every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network, including Bow Falls Radio. So we'll talk to Pat about the signing of the state budget. Also about the line item vetoes that were put in by Governor Tony Evers and more. So that's Pat Kreitlow coming up at 8:15 here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. As I said, boy, pleasant morning. This past night, last night, comfortable sleeping weather. Two nights ago, I was just tossing and turning and sweating and nothing. I know that Ron Johnson enjoys having this incredibly historic warm temperatures around the globe and saying that's good for Wisconsin. I like a night or two where we're able to comfortably sleep. And last night was one of those comfortable nights. We will have another one this evening as well. In fact, temperature-wise, very, very moderate, very, very comfortable, and some really nice outdoor activity weather coming up for the rest of today. Mostly sunny skies, high near 75 degrees. Another nice night this evening for sleeping, mostly clear, and a low dipping to 50. And then tomorrow, Friday, great way to kick off the weekend, mostly sunny skies and a high near 78 degrees. There is a slight chance of some rain Friday night and then into Saturday. A chance of showers, thunderstorms after 5 p.m. Otherwise, expect plenty of sunshine and a high near 75 degrees. And then wrap up the weekend on Sunday with mostly sunny skies and a slight chance of afternoon showers and a bit warmer and a high near 82. But if you've been tuned in this morning, listening to the top of the hour news from CBS, one of the headline stories so far today has been 3 days in a row we have had record global temperatures. In terms of the global temperature, 3 days in a row, records. We can talk about this in so many different issues, but so many of the issues, we just seem to be standing, if not still, moving way too slowly. You talk about here in the state of Wisconsin, child care. Also senior care. There's an interesting story on Gannett, including the Wausau Daily Herald, wausaudailyherald.com, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning, talking about senior care. We've been talking a lot about, during this budget discussion, about child care and the need for support for child care services in the state of Wisconsin. Very much similar, there's a need for support of senior care services, and especially as the population continues to get older and older, and I look at myself in the mirror, but something we got to look at. And then, of course, you look at the whole idea of climate change. And I just still, chuckle and, in a sad way, few months ago when we heard at a congressional hearing Wisconsin's very own United States Senator Ron Johnson saying, well, you know, warmer temperatures are actually good for Wisconsin. I mean, a man just doesn't get it. And I have to say that looking at some of the numbers from last week's Marquette University Law Poll, seeing the fact that taking a look at the numbers from last week, seeing the numbers for Ron Johnson that went down was something that was very, very encouraging in terms of the approval rating. But again, you just sort of take a step back, you chuckle a little bit, and then you just get a little bit nervous because, again, as we heard in the top of the hour newscast, 3 days in a row, global records in terms of temperature. So again, just a couple of thoughts here to start off our Thursday morning. The time is 8:12. We're going to take a quick timeout and then come back and continue. We're scheduled to be joined by Up North News host Pat Kreitlow coming up next. Again, hopefully your morning's off to a terrific start. Again, very pleasant start here in central Wisconsin. Some cloud cover, but again, nice to have that coolness on the skin. 60 degrees is the temperature. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes back with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Time is 8:15 here on this Thursday morning. Yes, that is the Jetsons. And because instead of meet George Jetson, I think we're going to have to meet Tony Evers. Because when we get to the year 2423, they'll still be talking about Tony Evers, after his line item vetoes yesterday, pushing forward public school funding increases for the next 400 years. And to talk a little bit about the assigned state budget, the line item vetoes, and other news of the day, we're very happy to welcome back to the program the host of Up North News Radio, which you hear each and every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right before this program on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Good to talk to Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good morning.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for that tune that I'm going to share with my sister to remember all the times we would sing that song out loud, complete with the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I mean, we just, it was one of those happy songs that you, when you were 8 years old, you couldn't help but sing. So and there I am. I've been transported.
And again, when I heard yesterday when the governor talked about signing the budget and we saw some of the reports about the changes, I'm not one normally that cares for the little jabs from time to time, that whether, you know, any area of life, just to sort of get under the skin. But I just imagine that Robin Voss got a little annoyed when he saw what the governor did in terms of that particular part of the legislation, that to change the number for 400 years down the line, even though Robin, as much as he would like to be around, won't be. But you just know it annoyed him just a little bit, right?
Well, yes, and it should not, because I would say, and I would say this to every Republican legislator who felt the need to post something snarky or take a shot at Governor Evers for the way that he used that partial veto, you need to take a seat. because you know, and I know, that the master of the partial veto, Tommy Thompson, at some point last night, raised the glass. As Joseph Pecky said on our show this morning, game respects game. And it is, I'm very much a, you know, I don't want to play both sides, blah, 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 both parties, blah, blah, blah. But you can definitely do that with the partial veto. And look, if Robin Voss and the other Republicans would actually want to work with a governor instead of making everything adversarial, there wouldn't be the need for these kind of partial vetoes and these little digs. But as long as they want to make it a game, then you got to respect Tony Evers for being able to return a shot as if he was back on his pickleball court.
And I know that you saw the letter that was put out by a number of progressive organizations in the last week or so, urging the governor to veto entirely the state budget. And I thought, you know, I was tuned in this morning, and when you were talking to Joe Sopecki, and I think one of you mentioned the fact that as petty as the Republicans are, if the governor had vetoed this budget completely, that they would get into a peak, and it would just be an impossible situation to try and negotiate a better deal. And I understood the whole idea where there are some issues within the budget. But at the same time, the idea that if you vetoed it, then the Republicans were going to come back to the table and be good partners in terms of trying to get a good budget after they would have felt like, oh, the governor turned her back on our negotiations. There was no way you're going to get a better deal out of folks like Robin Voss, was there?
No, and I think that actually the governor set this up better rather than saying, let's try again on the entire $7 billion surplus. What he did instead was make these vetoes that apparently, based on the reporting, will mean that when the legislature comes back into session in the fall, which they can do, there will still be $1.5 billion available for next fiscal year and almost $1.5 billion for the year after that. So there is still that much unused surplus. So you don't have a big summer-long battle about the whole budget. Instead, you do what you can with this bill, and then you say to the Republicans, hey, we still got $1.5 billion here each of the next 2 years. How about we now get serious about child care and health care and the worker shortage and things like that? So all in all, while I am completely sympathetic to what those 15 groups wanted the governor to do to force that fight, I do see the political realities and the way that conceivably, possibly, maybe Republicans come fall will say, gee, maybe instead of everything being a fight or a social issue, maybe we look at governing and doing things that families and small businesses would like.
Such an optimist you are.
Oh, no. My tongue was so in cheek, I'm surprised it's not bloody right now.
And another aspect that we saw, I think, in this whole situation with Governor Evers, I think that we've seen as well with the Biden administration the last couple of years, is when you do have people that kind of know the lay of the land, know how to legislate, that even in situations where it is difficult to get significant accomplishments, you're seeing significant accomplishments. I think that what's been accomplished in the first 2.5 years of this administration has been underestimated by a lot of people within the United States, whether you're in the political class or not. And then you look at what the governor, people I still think fail to remember that there's nearly 2/3 majorities in both houses of the state legislature. And yet the governor has been able to make significant inroads in important aspects of the budget. And as you said, the potential for even more. And that in this era where of talk radio, and of course I got to look in the mirror here as well, that sometimes we don't, I think, appreciate good old-fashioned governing. And I think you got a guy in Tony Evers who knows how to get things done.
And that includes a degree of horse trading, which, again, completely sympathetic to all those who are unhappy with how much more tax money is going to voucher schools. Totally get that. But when you, again, look at the realities of this legislature, that Governor Evers could get this legislature to, after a dozen years, finally agree to significant upgrades in funding for public school districts and for communities. It's not nearly enough. It's not even close enough. But it was a lot more than they would have otherwise been willing to give. Well, then you accept the victories where you can get them, and then you fight another day, possibly with ungerrymandered maps, and you keep your eye on the long-range plans.
And I tend to look at people that I trust and I feel like know what the lay of the land is. And so consistently over the last number of months, our mayor here in Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, has been steadfast in the support for this budget in terms of that area and how important it is. And sometimes in all of us have we want to get more closer to that ideal when it comes to the priorities within a budget. And again, I agree 100% with you that I completely understand all these groups that wanted even more. But when you see the mayor of Wausau, who I think is right in the middle of it in terms of decisions that need to be made when it comes to funding for so many different initiatives within this area, saying that, hey, this is important, this is a deal that we need to have. Maybe sometimes I get a little bit too trustworthy, but again, the people in the trenches seem to feel like, hey, this is significant.
Right. It's a matter of knowing the difference between politicking and governing. And, we all consider ourselves to be good little either armchair quarterbacks or actual political quarterbacks. But you have to know when the time comes that, okay, we're done doing politics about this now. What is the substance of the policy? What is the substance of the budget? And Mayor Rosenberg, like so many others, have a gift of knowing how you state your values, but also you don't take it to the point where you end up getting absolutely nothing, but, oh, you're remembered as a fighter, a fighter who got nothing. Some people want to be known as, you're willing to fight for your values, but you're also willing to understand when it's time to govern and get the best deal possible. That's what politics ultimately is.
Again, we're talking to Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News here on Bull Falls Radio, each weekday from 6 until 8 a.m. And along the same line, it does appear that the electorate and the citizenry of Wisconsin is seeing that. Number one, of course, was in this era of 50-50 elections, Tony Evers able to win by a margin where we didn't have to sit around until 3 in the morning the next day to know that he was a winner last November. And then last week we saw the numbers from the MU Law poll saying that 57% of Wisconsin voters say they approve of the job that Tony Evers is doing as governor. Only 39% disapprove. I find that to be very significant. What say you? Because going through these last few months, it's obviously not been an easy time because they're doing some heavy lifting in Madison with the budget, and yet it seems as though the folks here in Wisconsin are very much on board with the way that the governor has been doing his job.
And remember the way that an approval rating works. These are not people who Tony Evers would not get 57% of the vote. This is a whole lot of people who, if you ask them today what you think of the job that he's doing, they have to compare him not to somebody else on the ballot, but to what they're seeing in the Capitol right now, which is extreme Republicans behaving recklessly with our money, squandering a $7 billion surplus and saying, the job that Governor Evers is doing is, again, I may not vote for the guy, but at least he's, trying to be moderate as opposed to these guys who want to give, so much of billions of our money to billionaires and people who have tens of millions of dollars. And that's not right. So that's where the governor rightfully gets, a more favorable rating.
And in a macro way, the other guy that was on the Wisconsin ballot statewide last November, Ron Johnson, his approval is down to 37%. And I find it just so interesting. And also saying that maybe when you look at it in terms of issues, in terms of priorities, that those on the left, progressives, Democrats, are closer again on the issues than maybe the Republicans are, even if, when, as you said, when you get into the voting booth, that self-identification, that idea that I'm going to be voting either Republican or Democratic gets back to the core. But when you see the folks out there right now in a non-election cycle saying that, hey, I like the job that the guy that got elected governor last November, and then the guy that we elected as U.S. Senator, his numbers have tanked. And the thing about it is Ron Johnson hasn't changed anything. Ron Johnson's still out there sounding like Ron Johnson every day. And yet the people seem to be pushing away that kind of thought in terms of the priorities that Johnson has been pushing as opposed to the governor.
Because keep in mind, these same voters, these same, you know, self-identified independent voters, they see something in Tony Evers right now, but let's also remember what they saw on Election Day. They saw a truckload of outright racist ads being put up by billionaires, and enough of those independent voters looked at those ads, and they decided that, gee, maybe Mandela Barnes isn't the guy that I could vote for, and so they voted for Ron Johnson, or they didn't vote at all, or they voted for a third-party candidate, and Ron Johnson was able to squeak out the closest U.S. Senate victory in Wisconsin history because those billionaires and their disgusting ads dragged him across the finish line. But now that the election's over, you know, we're not talking about voting anymore. There's no more scary political ads. You just see Ron Johnson being Ron Johnson and saying, I don't approve of this guy at all. Can he say anything other than Hunter Biden and some kind of a verb? I don't think so.
And I guess finally, when you take some of those numbers, and I think some of the feeling that we have here in the state, now here during this time of governing, and it's very fortunate, you know, of course, we were very busy with the elections, both last November and then earlier this year. How do folks on the left, folks that have more of a progressive thinking, take what I see here right now, maybe agreement by a wider swath of Wisconsinites than we've seen before, and turn that not only into pretty good approval numbers for Governor Evers and maybe not such good approval numbers for Ron Johnson, and turn it into more successful elections in the future? Because right now we're in that, I think, a governing cycle where people are seeing Democrats fighting for issues that they believe in, that you see Republicans trying to push through, you know, obscene tax cuts for people who's going to use those tax cuts to probably fund more dirty campaign ads in the next cycle. How do Democrats and progressives maybe take the idea that, hey, we're on the side of the Wisconsinites in terms of issues and turn that into actual votes when we get into the next cycle next year?
Well, I think Democrats have always done the better job of trying to stick to the kitchen table issues, and that Republicans, who quite frequently can't run on any ideas or accomplishments, will turn either to social issues, or they will, you know, make things up, or they will try to scare voters, you know, with, you know, Mandela Barnes wants to open up the prison gates when obviously that's a lie. And so Democrats just need to stay true to that. They need to stay on offense. They need to not shrink away from anything that's been done either at the state or the, you know, federal level, and understand that, you know, the Republican playbook is going to be to come after them, and so they need to, long before the Swift boat ads run, they need to figure out what is going to be the next generation of Swift boat ads, or, you know, cashless bail ads, or whatever the case may be. And just be aggressive on that, because otherwise we're going to have candidates that do suffer the Mandela Barnes fate, who would be the far superior candidate. But, you know, kitchen table issues only take you so far when you've got billionaires buying as many political ads as they do. So, again, that whole difference between who you are as somebody who governs versus who you are as somebody who's a candidate.
And I guess, finally, along the same lines, do you think there's going to be any pushback at all for the governor using that veto pen to take away the tax cuts to the wealthiest? Because it just feels to me that was a master stroke. Obviously, it's the right thing to do, but at the same time, the idea, again, of Voss and the Republicans just pushing so hard for these, again, I mean, the gap between the super rich and everybody else just grows and grows and grows because of tax policy, not just in Wisconsin, but federally as well. That just felt like such a layup for the governor. And yet, I would like to see somehow the Republicans, you know, have that stick to them a little bit, that number one, that's who they serve. Bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very simply put, is that here's a governor who's looking out for Wisconsin education for the next 400 years, while Republicans are still fixated on taxes. When people aren't fixated on taxes, they're fixated on, are you using my tax money responsibly? Helping kids, that's good. Tax cuts for billionaires, not good. So if they want to whine about billionaires not getting tax cuts, I think the governor should take that 402-year increase in revenue limits and just put it right back at them every time. Don't shy away. You did it. Own it, because it was the right thing to do.
Exactly right. And I don't know if you saw it this morning as well. You talked about, again, child care. And I think one other area that's, you know, very much hand-in-hand with that is senior care. There was an interesting article on Gannett this morning that talked about, again, the senior care funding issues as well. So, I mean, there are still so many problems that could be, you know, there are opportunities, and I think the governor hit on the head, opportunities lost by the Republicans within this budget that he's going to try to fight. So, I mean, there's so many different ways that we can dig into it. But again, not just child care, but senior care, as many of us are getting older and older and are going to be needing the, you know, services along that line as well in the future. So.
That's right. And that's why we have all this potential for a fall session. Now let's just see if they take advantage of it or not.
Absolutely. Again, Pat Kreitlow, you can tune in to Pat every weekday morning from 6 till 8 a.m. On Civic Media throughout the state and right here on Bow Falls Radio. Pat, I know it's been a busy week. Number one, happy birthday. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
And July the 4th as well. I mean, man, I mean, you must have been one big party all week long.
It was a big party here, and we had great weather for it up here on Lake Wissota. So this has been a wonderful summer. It's been fun following your exploits out in Vegas, and hopefully we all just continue to have a really great summer around Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Again, Pat, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great rest of the weekend, a great weekend.
Thank you. See ya.
Pat Kreitlow joining us here on Bow Falls Radio. We'll have more coming up. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and of course, on that Civic Media app. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, now is a great time because it's been updated, it's been made even better in terms of what you can get on the app. All the Civic Media radio stations listen live to this station, Bow Falls Radio, and the other Civic Media radio stations as well. Again, just go to where you get your apps, App Store, search Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, Media, and then you'll be able to tune in. Have the podcast page, be able to listen to previous episodes of this show, other shows as well, on the Civic Media Radio Network. Always wanting more. Back velvet and that little boy smile. beautiful start here in central Wisconsin. Again, a bit cooler than we've seen in the overnights recently. And I got to say, it's perfect for sleeping. And right now, 61 degrees under partly cloudy skies here in Wausau. Should be a beautiful day generally. Look for plenty of sunshine and a high of a perfect 75 degrees. North-northwest wind, 7 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, another good-looking day, and a high near 78. And for the weekend, chance of showers Saturday. Thunderstorms also possible after 5 p.m. Otherwise, mostly sunny and a high of 75. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny, a slight chance of showers in the afternoon. A bit warmer and a high of 82. Again, right now, 61 degrees here at Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Thanks again to Pat Kreitlow for joining us. Interesting again, some of the numbers that we saw. I haven't had a chance to really delve too deeply into some of the numbers when it's come to the Marquette University Law Poll that came out last week. Of course, I was away last week when the numbers came out. I think there's reason for Republicans to, you know, again, I don't know how much self-reflection they do often, but when you look at some of the numbers, when you see the governor and the way that he's handled the entire budget process and the way he's handling his job because of the priorities he's put, lifting his approval numbers to probably as high as they've been since he went into office. At the very same time, a man that got nearly the same number of votes on the ballot last November, Ron Johnson, seeing his approval numbers go way, way down. Again, Ron Johnson got 50.5% of the vote, 1 point win over then Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in the election last November. You saw Governor Evers get about 52% of the vote in his victory over Tim Michaels last November. And Ron Johnson has not changed. If people think that Ron Johnson's numbers have gone down because somehow Ron Johnson is doing something differently, you haven't been watching Ron Johnson for 13 years. Ron Johnson has been talking about the same things. Ron Johnson has been pushing, again, issues that have, I would say, very little to do with the folks here in the state of Wisconsin, talking again about Hunter Biden, talking about vaccines in terms of how they're hurting people, not helping people. Ron Johnson and talking about how, you know, global warming and climate change are actually good for Wisconsin. Ron Johnson's being Ron Johnson. And I just find it interesting that that has led to a very significant drop in the senator's approval ratings. Again, Ron Johnson, in last week's Marquette University Law Poll, Ron Johnson, 37% view him favorably, 50% unfavorably. I'm not sure about the 13%, because if you're 13% and you, I don't know. Does Ron Johnson something that I find favorable or unfavorable? I just don't know. And even when Johnson won in November, his favorable numbers were not exactly through the roof. Just ahead of the November election, Johnson was viewed favorably by 43% and unfavorably by 46%. But that, again, is still a significant drop for the senator. And then when you look at the governor, and again, this has not been a easy time. The governor's been, you know, hit on pretty hard by Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu and others within the Republican Party. But Wisconsinites are saying, hey, the priorities and the way that Governor Tony Evers is going about doing his job has been positive. I mean, to see a Democratic governor in the state of Wisconsin have numbers like 57% approval, or I would say not approval, it is approval. The new Marquette Law School poll says 57% of Wisconsin voters say they approve of the job Tony Evers is doing as governor, 39% disapprove. And that is an incredibly steep rise. The last time that Marquette did a Wisconsin poll in October of last year, 46% approved of Evers' job performance, 47% disapproved. So again, that's not a small gain for the governor, like it was not a small drop for the senator. And I think it has a lot more to do with the issues than it does with the personalities. Yeah, Ron Johnson can be a little grating. But Tony Evers, he's not 57% because of his personality. He's 57% because the priorities he's put out there for hardworking Wisconsinites are the right ones. And that's what it comes down to. The people that work hard, that want to just have a little bit extra to be able to do something for their family, to maybe take their family away for a long weekend, as opposed to giving massive tax breaks to those who already have so much. I mean, we're going to give a tax break to allow multimillionaires to buy another yacht or, you know, go on one of Elon Musk's rocket ship trips. They don't need the state for further tax cuts, especially when there is a need for funding for public education, for health care, for child care. As I said, senior care. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that coming up in the next hour, that we talk a lot about child care, but also the senior care aspect. We are a society, the baby boomers and others, getting older. We have to think about that. When you have opportunities to invest in important areas, you need to take advantage and not just say, okay, our one answer on everything is another tax cut for the very wealthy. And I do think that seeing the super rich, and we see too many of the super rich, where this gap between the super rich and everybody else grows and grows and grows. We need to think about that. We need to slow it down, because every single day that goes by, that gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And when we ignore, and something we don't talk about enough, we talk about, again, the rich. I think we talk about the middle class and hardworking middle class workers as well. I think we need to talk more about the poor. It's almost as though there's not a political constituency that is the poor. We don't hear enough about investments to help lift the poor, to give them an opportunity. And that's all they're looking for. That's all that society should be, at the very least, be able to provide. Opportunity for those who are at the bottom of the economic scale to be able to lift themselves up the ladder. That's, again, the whole point of the United States of America, isn't it? About having that mobility, both economically and socially. I mean, one of the reasons, again, why 247 years ago this country split from the British Empire was this idea that Americans could move up the ladder. And I think some of the policies we've seen in the last 45 years, and I will say going back to the what you would call the Reagan Revolution, the trickle-down revolution has cut some of the portions of the ladder. And I think we're seeing policies put through at the federal level by the Biden administration that is trying to help in that way, but there's still so much that needs to be done. The time is 8:50. We need to take another quick time out. We'll come back with more. I'm Chad Holmes. Again, glad you could join me on this Thursday morning. 61 degrees under partly cloudy skies. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Something he's thinking of.
thinking that I'm done with you. And when I'm done with crying, and then I'm done with you. And when I feel so tired, and then I'm done with you. You know, everybody feels this way sometimes. Everybody feels this way.
Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:55, Thursday, the 6th day of July, 2023. Mentioned earlier in the week on Monday that we have officially passed the midway point of 2023. Years go by so quickly now. Actually, I should say weeks, months, and years go by so very quickly. It's hard to believe, again, we are past the midway point of 2023. Under 6 months until Christmas. Will we get snow this Christmas? Are we going to continue to have these records where every day sets a record for the warmest that the earth has seen? I will say I agree with Ron Johnson in one way. Living in Wisconsin is much better than I think many, many places on the globe. But we should not be so selfish that we think, hey, well, because it's, you know, moderate here, that we shouldn't worry about folks that are elsewhere, whether in the United States or around the world. And again, there's an issue that sometimes it feels as though We wait until we have to do something within this country. We don't get proactive when it comes to the changes that we see in the horizon, that we see that are going to be needed in the either near or even not so near future. Why wait until it has to happen? Because if you wait till it has to happen, the pain to get to where we need to go is greater. So again, when you see these stories, and we have CBS News at the top of the hour coming up here in just a few minutes, I imagine we'll hear again about the incredible temperatures that we're seeing around the globe. And it's not some make-believe thing. When you see folks on social media or on right-wing radio or right-wing TV say, oh, no, no, that's all make-believe. Fake news. I cringe when I hear that now because it's so Trumpian. And yet I see people that on all sides of the political spectrum use that term fake news. And it's just the trust in reporting, the trust in news that we get. When you lose trust in so many different areas, it makes it just more and more difficult to know what is real, what's not real. But again, I just think that when we have this news update coming up in just a few minutes, let's tune in and let's start thinking forward. And again, I think one reason why 57% of Wisconsinites approve of the job that Tony Evers is doing as governor is because he is prioritizing what's important. And that is something that we all need to think about, that, hey, if we do prioritize what's important, people will follow. Leaders need to lead, not just wait and then respond. So we got another hour to go. Coming up, CBS News, then Brittany Merlot with a Civic Media News update as well. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.